Just real quick, the Old Testament. I'm always rediscovering kind of the wrongness of so many stereotypes, so many images, conceptions we might have of the Old Testament. Oh, the Old Testament, that's the God of anger, that's the God of wrath, that's the God of jealousy, that's the God who, like, just, it's all about punishing. Did you read this reading? Read it again. It's beautiful. Pray with it, especially in the season of Lent. Do you see God sitting there shaming each one of us, shaming you, shaming, look at your sins, come back to me. Turn back to me. I will heal their defection. I will love them freely. I will be like the dew for them. Anyway, this is kind of beautiful insight. The Old Testament is not the way sometimes in our modern age we kind of quickly caricature it to be. The gospel, that question, what is the greatest commandment? That's a loaded and very consequential question. What is the first commandment? It's the question of what is the most important? What is the word, what is the one rule of life that is worth more than all the other rules of life? What is the meaning of life? Because it's the commandment of how to live. In other words, live this fully, and you will live the life you're supposed to live. It's the meaning of life. He's asking that question. What is it? How do we live? What are we called to live? It's the principle of order. If you understand this, what's the most important? Once you get that, everything else falls in the right order. Missing that, you get some extremes over here, extremes over there, and you're out of order in how you live all the different ways and rules and philosophies of life. Which one's the most important? It's your hierarchy of values, right? Your highest value, your lowest value. Once you get the highest one, right, again, the rest fall into place. And everything else that you do in some way becomes an expression of this most important thing. This most important thing is like the soul within everything else that you do. All your other priorities, tasks, rules, values, activities. You're asking, what is the one that defines them all? And our Lord answers. He could have answered any one of them, right? Remember to keep holy the Lord's day. All right, that's it. Everything else turns towards that one. But he said, you shall love. He's actually quoting the Shema prayer, one of the main Jewish prayers. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. And then Jesus doesn't stop there. That was the question. What's the most important? He says, I'll give you two, because the second one is also important. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Now, we also know that later on he would complete this. When you shall love your neighbor as I have loved you. These are the meaning of life. This is the center. If you don't have this, everything else kind of falls out of place. And everything else that you do should be an expression in some way of your love for God and for your brothers and sisters, those you know, those you don't know. Think about that. Because this is the fulfillment of the law, which means living it in another way might be good, but it's also kind of living it in an unfulfilled way. So that's where you see, like, oh my gosh, the Catholic Church has all these rules, the Jewish faith has all these rules. I gotta go to synagogue every weekend, I gotta wear my tassels the right length, I've gotta put this thing on my doorpost, I've gotta make sure I eat the right kosher foods, I've gotta make sure I celebrate this feast, that feast, treat my mother the right way, get my marriage right, no adultery on Fridays. Oh wait. No adultery at all. All these rules. And it's good if you fulfill them. Good, check. That's what you're called to do. But if you miss the point that it's of love, that that's the motor behind them, well, then it becomes simply rule following. And we often find ourselves struggling with that. Like, I am a rule follower. I've got to do this because it's the right thing to do. I've got to get these rules. I've got to be perfect because it's about me being perfect. That's the meaning of life. Get all the rules right. Do the right thing. It's like, well, that's not bad, but you're not there yet. And the scribe recognizes, no, this is gold. Loving the Lord your God with all your heart, loving your neighbor as yourself, that's worth more than all the other things that you do. Those other things that you do should be expressions of your love for God. Why do I fast on Fridays? Why do I do anything I do? Why do I go to work every morning? Because I need money. No. Why do I change my baby's diaper? Because I want to be a good mom or dad. What I nourish my kids? Why am I nice to the mean kid or the weak kid or the coward or the weird kid at school? Why? Because it's the right no, not about the right thing. Lord, because you ask me to. Because you ask me to. That is the only reason. That is the loudest reason. That is the first reason. The greatest reason. Because you ask me to. It's important for us to spend these days and weeks of Lent pondering how much God has loved us. The meaning of life is to discover the love God has had for you and for me. So that in turn, all we're about is loving Him back. That's all we're about, is loving Him back. And that love for Him overflows, secondly, to how we love one another as He has loved us. Get that right. And Lent is a perfect time to work on it. Purifying the intentions behind why I do everything I do. Why do I come to 8:30 a.m. Mass on a Friday? Well, because, you know, people will notice me and I'll look like a good Catholic and I don't, whatever. Because I like to hear Father talk forever and ever. No. Lord, because you ask me to. You invite me to. I don't want to say no to you. I might say no to my boss. Because that's for money. I might say no to my baseball coach. Because he's my baseball coach and it's about a plastic trophy. I might even say no to my homework. Because even that has a limit. I will not say no to you when you ask me, when you invite me, when you put something in front of me that you say, I've discerned, you're asking me to do this. And it becomes the motor behind everything else. Let us ponder that, especially in this third week of Lent. Let's go deeper. Why are we doing the things that we're doing? All of them, the fasting, the religious things, but the daily things. Why am I punctual for Mass? Why does Mass have to start at 8:30? I work on it, but I'll get there. Anyway, it's supposed to be out of love. May our Blessed Mother intercede for us because she saw that her son, the Son of God, did everything he did, from waking up in the morning to carpentry work, to going out and bringing water to the house, to whatever tasks and whatever dealings he had with his neighbors, to preaching, teaching, laying down his life out of love for you. That was it. That was his motor. Love led him to do everything. So we want to learn to be like him, to live like we're called to live. We're made in his image and likeness, and he shows us today the greatest, the one thing to get right behind everything else. You shall love the Lord your God with all that you do and love your neighbor as yourself. Amen. Amen. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph.